You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, everybody have your Bibles with you. Turn with me to Jeremiah, the first chapter. We're going to start there, and I want to get to some other verses and put all that, in context. Jeremiah gives a little bit of his testimony starting out, talks about who his father was, talks about the reign of kings that he prophesied in, and he did prophesy through several kings. He was there when they carried Jerusalem and carried Judah away in captivity in the days of Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. That's when they were in Jerusalem and they were surrounded by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they took him off into Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah was there. He was prophesying at that time. In fact, he told the king of Judah to give up and give in to the desires and to the demands of this king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and he wouldn't do it. And threw him in a pit. And, of course, they lifted him out of the pit. And then the general of the armies of Babylon, God had sent word to him, told them that Jeremiah had been the prophet that had been telling them to give up, said, bring him out here, and you let him do whatever he wants to do. The king told the general to tell Jeremiah that he could stay if he wanted to stay, or he could go back with him to Babylon or do whatever he wanted to do. He had that kind of favor. Here they were. They captured the city and took people captive. But since Jeremiah had done what God told him to do, he had that kind of favor even with the enemy. Yeah. It's an amazing story. It really is. But Jeremiah, of course, and Lamentations, where he laments over, their captivity and so on and so forth. But Jeremiah starts out here and talks about him being called. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. And he talks about the reigns that he prophesied in. And he says in the fourth verse, first chapter, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, I love that. The word of the Lord always comes to you saying something. Always comes to you for you to say something too. God doesn't reveal himself to you or reveal scripture to you or promise to you for you to sit on. He reveals it to you to say something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Okay, that was exciting. So if you get a hold of something out of God's word, you ought to say it. If something comes alive to you and you see something that you hadn't seen before, let's just don't walk out of here and say, oh, well, that was pretty good. No, institute it into your life. Start saying that. If God brings something alive, burns something in you, ignites a fire in you from His Word, that is the Word of the Lord saying to you for the purpose of you to say it. Hallelujah. I love that. So He says, the Word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, set you apart, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I love this. This is a great scripture for pro-life, incidentally, because actually God was aware of who Jeremiah was before he was even in the womb and had a plan and a call and a destiny for him even then. I don't necessarily believe that everything that God desires and plans and destines for you or me happens exactly like God wants it to happen. But nonetheless, God has a general plan for all of us. And He works with us to bring that plan to pass as we yield to Him. Sometimes we zig instead of zag, and sometimes we turn left instead of right, but God doesn't forsake us, thank God. So you don't have to run through your life and walk through your life and live your life wondering moment by moment, am I missing God? Is this going to work? Am I in His will? Are you with me? I believe if you commit yourself to God, do the best you can. You are not perfect. You're not Superman, Superwoman. At least we figured that out. I don't know if you figured it out or not. But nobody's perfect in that respect. And you're going to make some mistakes. You're probably going to sin and have to repent. But God will work with you. God will work with you. And you might, at the end of your days think, I wonder if I did exactly what God wanted me to do with my life. I can answer you, probably didn't. I don't think anybody does. But some of us do a little closer than others. And there are times in your life you're doing a little better than others. But God works with you. He knows that. He has a general plan trying to bring it past for you. His plan's good. Are you with me? His plan's great. But His plans are contingent on your decisions.
That's right. Amen.
Hello. And the anointing and the blessing of God on your life is contingent on how much you yield and how much you believe and how much you pray and how much you serve Him. And there are times that you're hot and times you're not. Isn't that right? Come on. So, do the best you can, but don't live your life in just sheer frustration and worry about being in the perfect will of God. Do the best you can. Repent when you sin. God's patient. You're His child. He's your Father. He loves you. God's plan for Jeremiah was to be a prophet. Okay? And eventually it worked out, you know, for him. Not to say that Jeremiah did everything just right. I'm sure he made a lot of mistakes and sinned himself. In fact, he crawfished right here when God called him. He didn't really want to do what God wanted him to do. It says here, before, you know, I formed you in your mother's womb, and I knew you before you were born. I sanctified, set you apart, and ordained you a prophet to the nations. In other words, I called you to this. Many are called, few are chosen. Isn't that right? So, I mean, a lot of people are called to something that may not necessarily fulfill it completely. They may partially fulfill it. They may complete their calling. They may fulfill their calling. Or they may partially do part of the calling. God doesn't hate you. He's not against you. If you've missed it somewhere, we've all missed it. But it would behoove us, to use King James terminology here, it would be in our best interest and behoove us greatly to do our best to get in the will of God. Spend time seeking Him and seeking His Word to find out what it is He does want us to do. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, do what you know to do. Do what's in your spirit. Do what's in your heart. Do what's just and holy and right. Help people. Love people. Love God. Love people. We know that. Beyond that, if God's gifted you and given you some abilities, reach out and do those things. Use your gifts and your talents for God as best as you can. Not everybody's going to be called to fivefold ministry. The vast majority of the church is out working on what we call, unquote, quote unquote, secular jobs. But I don't think in God's sight there is such a thing. I think we're all in ministry some way, some form, some fashion, because we're all lights wherever we are, whether we're working in a factory or whether we're working, you know, owning a business or whatever it is we do, we're Christians 24/7.
That's right.
Amen? We may not all be pastors and evangelists and prophets and teachers and apostles, but we all are in the ministry.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, then said I, in response to this great news that God had ordained him to be a prophet and formed him in his mother's womb and knew him before he was born, and his calling was to be a prophet to the nations, Jeremiah got excited and says, yes, I knew it. I'm the man. No, actually it says, then he said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child or a youth. You got the wrong cat, Jack. That's what I said when God called me to teach. The very words I said when he called me to teach. When he gave me an open vision and called me to teach his word. I was 20 years old. I'd been saved 1 year. And I had an open vision of my hometown, and an open vision of a church there, an open vision of people that I actually saw and recognized and were going in nice and dressed up, looking good and happy in the front door of the church and coming out beat down and why do I always do that? And God said to me, he said, I want you to do something about that. And of course, like Jeremiah, like Moses, like most people in the Bible, when God asks them to do something, so don't feel intimidated, okay, when you don't feel like you're capable. Hardly anybody in the Bible felt capable when God called them to do things. Moses said, I can't do this. You send somebody else. He said, I'm not eloquent, you know. Jeremiah said, oh, Lord God, I can't speak. I'm just a kid. I'm just a child. I'm just a youth. And I remember when God called me to teach. And back then, of course, I'd just been saved a year. It was 1976. And I was in Lakewood Church, and I had this open vision. I saw those people coming out worse. Coming out of church worse than they went in church. Are you kidding me? This is God's house. You ought to come out better than you come in this place. You ought to walk out with a spring in your step, with hope, with a purpose, with a destiny. You ought to come out with a hand of God on you, knowing you can make it, knowing God loves you and is for you. To come out worse than you come in. Are you kidding? That is not what church is about. Church is a place of repentance. It's a place where you get right. It's a place where you get healed and get whole and get charged and challenged and changed. And I was at Lakewood just sopping up the gravy. I was doing that. I was walking out better than I walked in. I couldn't wait to get to church. I was hearing such good news. It was changing my life. I'd come out of jails and drugs and, you know, and gotten saved. And I was just happy to be saved. I mean, come on. Called me to teach and pastor. That wasn't even in the cards, as we said, you know. Which God doesn't care about cards, and He doesn't care about horoscope. He made the stars. Are you with me? And so when he said that, I felt this inferiority. I can relate to this, you know. But it's like all of us when God asks us to do something, asks us to go lay hands on someone, asks us to go give someone a word, or asks us to go help in this ministry or that ministry, or pray for some witness to someone. There's that fear, that intimidation, that lack of self-worth that comes, you know. But see, you need to listen to God. God knows what He's talking about. And I absolutely said, I was in the service, and I said, "You have got the wrong cat, Jack." Because that's the way I talked back then. You know, it took me a while to get all my lingo out of my... I still have a lot of East Texas in me. I couldn't get rid of it. But thank God He didn't pay a bit of attention to me. Not one bit of attention to me. I started crying, and I said, "God, leave me alone. Please, leave me alone. I can't do this. I cannot do this." And didn't pay a bit of attention to me. Just, "I want you to do something about that. I want you to do something about that." I said, "God, I can't do anything about that. What are you talking about? I didn't have a high school education. Got kicked out of high school. Didn't have any money. Was working as a laborer on a construction job. No education. I did not have the resume that would be most likely to succeed, you know. And yet God didn't care. God doesn't care. In fact, I'm living proof that God's real, because there's nobody that ever would have hired me to do what I'm doing with my resume. Are you with me? I was not preacher material, as it were. And thank God, He finally said in my spirit, you know, after all that, He said, "I'm calling you to teach my word." Very specific. You know, a lot of people say God called me to preach. But God said teach, told me to teach. He said, "I'm calling you to teach my word." And I said, "Okay." Just so He'd leave me alone, you know. Hallelujah. And there was a lady ministering. I'll tell you who the lady was. She was Marion Sitton. She was ministering on the 12 spies out of Numbers 13th chapter. It was a Monday night, 1976, Lakewood Church. Do what?
It was Memorial Day.
Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, Memorial Day. And, you know, the message was just fine. I remember what she preached. When she got through, she prayed for a lot of people, prophesied over lots of people in Lakewood Church. She got through. She started to step off the platform. She's like this. Started to step off the platform. She says, "God's done a lot of things tonight, but He's called one young man to teach His word." Turned around and walked off. I'll never forget it. I'd just been in this thing a year, and that was a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, you know. Didn't call me out, didn't pick me out, didn't call anybody out. Walked off and stopped and came back and said that. And then I knew then that was it. And it was, I didn't tell Brenda right away. I was kind of embarrassed about being called to teach. But anyway, I can relate. I look at Jeremiah. I look at Moses. You know, Moses' account's real simple. He backtracked. Oh, my. He says, "Me? Who, you want me to go deliver the children of Israel? You want me to do that?" See, we're all that way. We all feel incapable. And we are incapable outside of Christ to do what God wants us to do. None of us are able outside of Christ to do anything God asks us to do. But the point is, we're not outside of Christ. The point is, we're in Christ. The point is, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The point is, we're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It's not our might, it's His might. God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. God's got plenty of ability. He's got plenty of power. He's got plenty of anointing. He can open up doors. He can put His hand on you. He just needs a you. That's what He needs. He needs somebody that'll stand there and say, "Thus says the Lord." That's all He's looking for. So, you know, He's looking for available mud. That's us. Does that make sense? Just be available. That's all. I'm available. I come up here and open my mouth and I open my Bible and I begin to preach. And of course, I do study during the week and pray and seek God. But you know, I come up here and I stand here. That's the thing. Man, if you want to know the secret of my success, is I just didn't quit. No big secret. Just kept coming. And you just keep coming. You just stay with it. You keep standing up. You keep talking. You keep praying. You keep believing. You keep doing what's right. The harvest is coming. God will anoint it. He's just looking for faithfulness, that's all. Looking for faithful diligence. Hanging with the stuff. Staying with the stuff. Woo!
Yes, amen.
Love it. So Jeremiah, you know, he's trying to back out, act like we all do. "Oh, Lord God, I can't speak. I am just a child. I'm not capable of that." Well, you can just take that to the nth degree. I don't have the training. I don't have the money. I don't have the connections. Hello. I don't have shoes. Oh, man, come on. I mean, you know where you stop that insanity? I can't, you know, my shoes. I can't preach tonight. My heel came apart, you know. I mean, it obliterated. The thing just disintegrated. I don't know what happened to it. It didn't just, I mean, I can't even wear the shoe. I'd be walking like this, you know, because it's the heel just came apart. Well, you know, doesn't change preaching. I'm going to preach. I don't preach with my feet anyway. Amen. Okay. He goes on here and says, but the Lord said, I love that. God doesn't pay a bit of attention to your excuses. They don't mean anything to Him. For one thing, it's nothing you're going to say He doesn't already know. Oh, well, wait a minute, God, maybe you didn't think about this. You know, like He didn't think about that. Lord, don't you know how old I am? Yeah, I made you. I know how old you are. You know, Moses says, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. And God said, I made your mouth. Yeah, I knew that before I asked you, okay? So all your excuses, I'm sorry, you already lost the argument because we're talking about God who knows everything already. He can make a better argument against you doing it than you could make an argument against you doing it. So He said you can. That's all that matters. So the Lord said to me, do not say I am a you. Don't say that. Don't say I can't. See, that's what He said. Don't say I can't do what God says you can do. Isn't that right? I mean, let's just extrapolate that out. Let's modernize that, as it were. Let's make that current. He said, I am but a youth. You might say, I don't speak real well. You might say, they'll make fun of me. You might say, I don't have the money. You might say, hello. But all it boils down to is, all we're saying is, and all Jeremiah was saying is, you can't do what God says you can do. Isn't that right? And God says, don't say that. Don't you say that. Why we can't do, wait, whoa, whoa, why can't you do that? Did God say you could do it? If God said you can do it, you can do it. Yeah, but. Well, no, wait, no, yeah, but. Not, no, whoa, whoa. God said, this is what I want you to do. Now, either God didn't think about what you know, He didn't know what you know. And that's a scary thought, that God doesn't know what you know. He didn't know about your finances, and He didn't know about your lack of talent, He didn't know about, you know, your inabilities. Either God didn't know that, which that's very scary to think that God is so ignorant about you that He doesn't know about your weaknesses. Or God did know that, and He's going to help you do what you can't do by yourself. I think that's the case. I believe that God will always help us do what He calls us to do. Always. He'll help us do whatever He leads us to do. Whatever that is. And all of our excuses are just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It just falls on deaf ears with God, for sure. Because God's trying to empower us. You know, Jesus said in John 15:5, He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Okay? But the case is, we're not without Him. That's the point that's being made there. That we are who we are because of Jesus Christ. We can do what we can do because of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Now, it's understood without Him you can do nothing. But you're not without Him. Amen. So if God says it, we can do it. Pure and simple. Numbers 13 was a perfect example in case where we have 12 spies go out and spy out the land. 10 come back with an evil report, the Bible says. 2 come back with a good report. The evil report was just simply, we can't do what God says we can do. And we are not who God says we are. That's the evil report. In their words, we're not able to go up against them. We are like grasshoppers in their sight, and we are like grasshoppers in our own sight. That's what the words they use, but it's the same thing as saying we cannot do what God says we can do, and we are not who God says we are. Wow. Man, I don't want to be like those 10 spies. I want to be like Joshua and Caleb, who stood up, stilled the people, and says, we are well able to overcome them. Let us go up at once and possess them. They are bred for us. Their defense has departed from them, and God is for us. Oh, wow. I love that. I love that. And Joshua and Caleb saw the same things that those 10 spies saw. But their faith was in God. And the 10 spies' faith was not in God. See, God was just telling Jeremiah, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to anoint you. Okay, I'm going to empower you. I just need you. Because I need to anoint somebody. Tag, you're it. Make sense? Okay. So, I mean, when God called me to teach, He didn't call me to teach because I was better than anybody. He didn't call me to teach because I was smarter than anybody. He didn't call me to teach because I had more money than anybody, had more training than anybody. He called me to teach because, you know what? Because He called me to teach. Because that's what He wanted to do. And so I have to assume, I have to believe that when I get up here, God comes on me. That God will anoint me. God will help me communicate truth. God will cause my words to come alive and burn in you if my words are in line with His words. Hallelujah. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Now that's the important part of obeying God, is tell people what God told you to tell them. And quit adding all your ad-libbing. Come on. Adding all the fluff. Quit embellishing it. Just say what God says. You know, when this service is over, as in all services, when it's all said and done, you will have Scripture to stand on. Because that's what I preach. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, obviously, I expound. I'm a teacher. Obviously, I take it apart and dissect it and tell stories and, you know, make points and so on as I'm talking. But the crux and the center of everything that I preach and teach is God's Word. It is the impact statements are out of God's Word. The Scripture, the verses, what does God say? Because that's what I'm anointed to do. That's what I'm called to do, is to speak God's Word. When you share with people, you don't have to talk in King James English, but when you share with people, you need to share with people what God says. As good as maybe your experiences are, they should only be used when they're in line with what God says. I'm up here preaching my experiences, even when I talked about my calling, I only ministered that in light of Jeremiah's experience, in light of these words, to give an example, a modern-day example of what took place in the Bible. Are you with me? And that's how I know I can relate, and that's how I know that's a good example, because it's scriptural. It's the same thing Jeremiah went through, same thing Moses went through. So my experiences are only good as to the point or extent they're in line with the Word. Amen? You might have had a dream or a vision. That's fine. Dream visions are fine. I believe in them. But if they're scriptural, if they're biblical, okay, if you can connect them to the Scripture, fine. Let's do that. That's wonderful. Jeremiah 23, it's Jeremiah that says this in the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. It said, let the prophet that's dreamed his dream, let him dream his dream. Let him speak his dream. He was talking about false prophets that prophesy out of their own spirit and not out of the Spirit of God. He said, let him that speaks God's Word speak it faithfully. For what is the chaff to the wheat? The Word of God is a fire that burns out the chaff and burns out the false dream, the false prophet, the false vision away. So dreams and vision, yes, we believe in them, and Jeremiah did too. But they need to stand up to this. And when we speak, we need to speak His Word. And if we're going to stand up here and say God heals, or we're going to stand up here and say God doesn't heal, or we're going to say God does miracles, or God doesn't do miracles, or we're going to stand up here and say that speaking in tongues is for today, or we're going to stand up here and say speaking in tongues is not for today, we're going to have to back it up with the Word. Are you out there? Not a history book. Although there's a lot of history backs up the Word, I like using a lot of that stuff. But it ultimately comes down to, if God says it, that's the way it is. God says He'll hear you when you pray. He will hear you when you pray. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, so I'm feeling kind of comfortable. You know, Clinton's over. He got his boots off on the camera, in his socks. Y'all keep shoes on. We don't want to start a trend here, because I'm far enough away from Trent, I can't smell his feet, so it's okay.
Clinton.
I said Trent. Clinton. Seventh verse. But the Lord said to me, do not say. Everybody say, do not say. Okay, that's a word for us. Listen now. Hey, do not say you can't do what God says you can do. Do not say you're not able to do what God says you can do. You know, I get tickled. A lot of times people say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, God really doesn't care whether you want to do it or not. I know the Bible says you trust in the Lord with all your heart and He'll give you the desires. You know, trust in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. He will give you desires of your heart. I understand that, and I love what I'm doing. But when God initially called me to do most everything that I did, I didn't want to do hardly anything God would call me to do. Honestly, I did not want to teach when God called me to teach. Honestly, I was very happy to be saved. I was a good witness. I witnessed to everybody. I was telling everybody about Jesus on the job, took my Bible to work, had it in my lunch pail. You know, I used to work on construction jobs and went to church every time the door opens and just read my Bible and just write notes and underline. And, oh, I was just so happy I could have done that the rest of my life and just been awesome, you know, and tithe and give and just be a good Christian. And, you know, and God said, I want you to teach. I said, no, I don't want to do that. No, leave me alone. Let me just sit here. And I'll witness, which I was doing that. But you know what? Once I obeyed, then I begin to love doing it. He doesn't make you miserable. In fact, the thing is, you're going to be miserable until you obey. And when he called me to pastor the church here in Wills Point, come to Wills Point and start a church here in Wills Point. You know, people were meeting, having Bible studies, and there was no official church here. And he called me to come here, start this church. I rebuked the devil, literally. Literally. I'd pray, and Wills Point would come up before me. And God said, I want you to go start a church in Wills Point. I literally, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here, but I'm just being honest. I said, you lying devil? No way. You're not getting me out of the will of God. No way. I'm not going to Wills Point. I'm not going to do that. And I'd pray. I couldn't shake it. I could not shake it. I could not get rid of it. It was like a fire that was building in me, and I couldn't push it away. I didn't want to do it. It wasn't my plan. I had other plans. Are you kidding? I was at Lakewood Church, big church. Bernie and I were 175 counselors. We were the head counselors at Lakewood Church. We'd line the people up at the altar calls, and we'd have the counselors' meetings, you know, and I'd fill in for Brother Osteen. And I'd teach in the auditorium class on Sunday mornings. And, you know, there would be 400 or 500 people there when I'd start the class. And since it's Sunday morning class in the auditorium, when I got through, there'd be 4,000 people I'd be preaching to. Man. Woo. I was rolling. I had churches wanting me to become pastor. Already established churches, not a new one in a town called Wells Point, Texas. You know, wanted me to come. And I was going all over the world. I'd been to India. Spent 6 weeks in India, 3 weeks another time, 6 weeks another time. Went to Guatemala and spent 9 days in the jungle, 8 days in the jungle of Bataan jungle of Guatemala. I started doing missionary work. I was preaching out, doing itinerating. Preached 108 times in 1981. I was a young man, very young man, preaching church after church all over the southern United States and doing mission work. And that's all, twice a week I was preaching somewhere. God says, go to Wells Point, Texas, daughter church. Oh, no, that's, no, no, no. It'll get me out of the will of God. Hello. Then one day, Brother Osteen comes up. We were on the front row, you know, that was in like a circle, Lakewood at that time, and Brother Osteen was preaching. Well, it was before he was preaching. Actually, we were singing, and I don't know if it was an offering or something. He steps off down the platform. It was several steps, and he steps off like this, and he says, hey, Michael. So I walked up. I thought he wanted me to do something, make an announcement, because I was real involved in the services. So I didn't, and we had our seats. We had seats. We had our own seats. We sat in on the front row. We could see across over to Doty and Brother Osteen. We had these special seats. He said, come here. And I thought, oh, he's probably going to give me $10,000 or something. No, I didn't think that. I just thought it was something to do with the service, so I walked up to him. You know, he leans over and he says, "I really been praying about this. I believe God wants you to go start that church in Wells Point, Texas." So I walked back over there. I'm not just mad at God now; I'm mad at my pastor. I had to get over that. I had to pray through that. I came up, you know, we had some services. We had some meetings, you know. We had a well, what was it? Thursday, Friday, Saturday night meetings. Rented a building downtown and put in there Mike Williams teaching Bible seminar. I thought, nobody knows who I am. And this thing will fall apart. I'll come up there and say, God, I tried it. Didn't work. You know, first night, I think 11 people got baptized with the Holy Ghost and two got saved. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. So I did it for 3 nights. Then I came back another month, did another 3-night meeting. I'm just slowly trying to, you know, get out of this if I can. And I taught hard, too. I taught on confession. I taught on healing. I taught on absolutely, I thought, I'll make them so mad they won't come back. Well, maybe, you know, I just didn't pull any punches. I said, it's always God's will for you to be healed. God wants you healed. I taught confessing the word and so on and so forth, and they just kept coming. And finally, the third time I came back, it was 3 different months I did that. Over a 4-month period, we skipped 1 month. I finally decided I'm going to have to do this. Best thing I ever did. Yeah. It's the best thing I ever did, no question about it. I mean, my heart changed. Wouldn't rather be anywhere in the world. It's not about numbers. It's not about money. It's about the will of God. That's what it is. It's about obeying God and being where God wants you to be. And you will not be fulfilled, and you'll never have peace till you get to where God wants you to be. And you need to get all your reason, your logic out of the way here, and let's just get down to the Word, and let's just obey God, and let's do what God says to do here. I wonder how Philip felt when he was having revival in Samaria in Acts, the 8th chapter. The Bible says many sick of palsies were healed, many lame were healed. And so many miracles were taking place there. It's just amazing if you begin to read that. And the apostles came down, laid hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Great revival, the Bible says. He preached Christ to them. It says there was great joy in the city. And then God says, Philip, I want you to go to the desert. Because there was a man out there that needed to be saved. There's a man that needed to be saved. How do you put a price on that? Does God just care about big towns? Does He just care about big churches? Does He not care about small towns? Does He not care about the ones and the twos and the threes and the fours? Should the anointed people, should the presence of God, should the power of God, should that just be in big churches and not in small areas and small? Are you kidding me? God cares about everybody. He cares about everybody. Now, He does want growth. I mean, I don't think small churches ought to stay small. Don't get me wrong. Or think small. Should never think small. But we should never think in terms of my success is determined by numbers or determined by money or determined by this or that. Your success is determined by fulfilling the will of God. That's what your success is determined by. By the peace of God in your soul and your heart. And I'll just be straightforward with you. I'd rather do what I'm doing right now than anything in the world. I'd rather preach right here. In fact, I just have to have a real pull to even go anywhere. I want to be right here. I want to come down here. This is where I'm called to preach and minister. I love it. Love teaching the class, love ministering here in the church, love what God's doing here, all the things we do with the food bank and the Hallelujah Night and all the ministries we're going to start in days to come if Jesus tarries. I'm excited about the future. Amen. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. And I am very determined to tell you what the Word says. I'm very determined to help you live your life better, to give you a purpose and a hope and a destiny. I'm very determined that if you come here and you're faithful and you come and you sit here and you write notes and you open your Bible, I'm very determined that you become a better person, closer to God. Amen. I want to help you.
Amen.
That's why I do what I do. You know, I've been faithful. I don't know why I'm saying all this. I've been faithful to the vision. I've been faithful to the calling. I've been faithful to what God called me to do. That where I am, that will not happen. That where I live, what I saw in that vision will not happen.
That's right. Amen.
That the church I pastor will not be that way.
That's right. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Mm. Phew. How did this turn into me? I think it's something to do with not having shoes on. I don't know. I'm just relating here and thinking about why we do what we do. Well, you do what you do because God tells you to do what you do. You do what you do because you should have a passion for what God tells you to do. That should be your motivation. That is my motivation. My motivation is a vision of people getting help. It's a motivation of people changing their lives. Keeps me coming. Keeps me, you know, diligent. When I don't feel like it, you know, I see that. I see it's working. I got to do this. If they're going to get help, I got to do my part. And we all have a part to play. Every one of us had a part to play. If you weren't here, this church wouldn't be here. If you didn't come, you didn't tithe, you didn't give, you didn't support, whatever it is you do, I don't know. We all do different things, but all of us are part of that. We make that happen. Every visitor that comes in here gets right with God, gets their life back, gets their dreams and their hopes back. Hallelujah. Finds out God loves them and He's for them. Finds purpose and destiny. You're part of that. Thank God for churches like International Outreach Church.
Yeah.
Thank God for people who come on Wednesday nights that make it happen on Sunday. That make it happen in the food bank. That make it happen at Hallelujah Night. I mean, it all comes together. It all works because, you know what? We decided we are who God says we are. We can do what God says we can do. We have what God says we have. Hallelujah. Mm. So he says here, seventh verse, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am you. Don't you say you can't do it. For you will go to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you will speak. Do not be afraid of their faces. Wow, the fear of man, boy, that's a killer, isn't it? Afraid what they'll say, afraid they'll make fun of me, afraid what they'll, you know, they won't like me. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people won't like you. Let's just get that out of the way, okay? But there'll be some that are glad you came. There'll be some that'll thank you the rest of their lives. That will be eternally grateful for you standing up for the Lord and praying for people and helping them, reaching out to them. You know, I think of the food ministry because it's easy to talk about. I think we had 119 families was the last count. 119, is that right, Ted? 119 families that were ministered to. Last week, a lady came through, didn't even want food. She just came because she needed prayer. She wanted Mo to pray for her. I thought, wow, how cool is that? I don't need any food. I just need prayer. I need to be prayed for. Those people are changing week by week by week because they're getting hope. They're getting hope. They're getting help. They're seeing our love for them. They're seeing we care for them, that we really want them to have a better life. Not just giving them food, but we're praying for them, and everybody's so friendly in there, and that's what's so important about our volunteers is that we have that atmosphere that the love of Jesus just shines through us. But you're seeing people change. Now, is everybody grateful? No, of course not. Everybody's not just real thankful. Most of them are. I can guarantee you that. I've had them stop me in the parking lot during the day when I'm walking out there in their cars and roll the windows down and just thank me profusely. And I'm not even out there. Thank you for what you're doing out there. Thank you. You're helping us. You're helping us. Are you with me? We're able to make it because of you. Thank you. Thank God for this church. I've had them tell me that. Thank God for this church. Man, that'll motivate you. That'll keep you going. Just one or two of them will make your day. And there's a lot of them out there that are just so thankful. Just so thankful, so grateful. And you're seeing them change. You're seeing them get it. We're here to make a difference. You are where you are to make a difference. Whether it's a job or whatever, it's a family, whatever the case may be. You're there to make a difference. And don't say you can't do what God says you can do. Don't say you can't make a difference because you can. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. I like that. Because God doesn't touch your mouth, you're in trouble. I preach a camp meeting on that one. You need to pray that God touches your mouth. Okay? That He touches. Oh, God, touch my mouth. That should be my prayer. God, touch my mouth where I can help with my mouth, bless with my mouth, heal with my mouth, help, lift, encourage with my mouth instead of tear down and gossip and be negative. Lord, touch my mouth. If I'm ever going to help anybody, He's going to have to touch my mouth. He stretched forth His hand and He touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth.
Praise God.
Yes. That's what we got to do. We got to get God's word in our mouth. Get the news out of our mouth and get God's word in our mouth. Amen. We don't need the news touching our mouth. We don't need the economy touching our mouth. We need the word of God and the hand of God, the Spirit of God, to touch our mouth. And we need God to place his words in our mouth. You know, Ezekiel, it's real simple with Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the second chapter, talks about how he fell down before the Lord. And says the Lord stood up on his feet and the Spirit entered him so that he understood what the Lord said. And the Lord called him to prophesy. And he gave him a scroll and he says, "You eat this. You eat this scroll." Because that's what he wanted him to say. And see, until we eat this, we're not going to say what God wants us to say. And sometimes when we eat this, it's bitter. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it makes a lot of changes in our lives. Sometimes it challenges us. It's all right, go ahead and eat it. It's what you need. It's what I need. And if we'll eat it, then we'll have the words to say. Y'all get it? That's what he told the prophets. That's what he told Jeremiah. That's what he told Ezekiel. In fact, Ezekiel's second chapter says that. You know, what I love too is this 12th verse when you put all that together. It says, "And the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I will watch over my word to perform, or I'm ready to perform my word.'" Actually, "watch" is a better translation of the Hebrew word. It's interesting. What does God do for you? What does God do in your life? That's a good question. What will God confirm or perform in your life? The word. That's what he'll perform. That's why it's so important that you get God's word in you and in your mouth. Because God watches. So when you start saying his word, he shows up and he backs it up. Now, if you're just telling stories and you're not telling people what the word says and you're not sharing the promises, there's nothing for God to work with or for him to back up. But he's watching. He's watching his word to perform it. I like that. And if I'll be faithful to get up here and tell you the word, he'll anoint it. He'll take it and he'll just put it right in your heart. Burn it right inside of you. You'll sit out there and I'll be preaching and I'll start sharing scripture or sharing something from God and you'll be going, "Yeah, whoa, yeah. Ooh." Yeah. See, that's revelation. That's God performing and anointing his word in my mouth. Now, if I don't preach his word, that's not going to happen. But if I'm faithful to do that, because that's what I'm called to do, and that's what we're all called to do, basically, as far as sharing with people, helping people, then God will help you help people. He'll perform his word. I love that. You know, that's what it says in Mark 16 chapter, where it talks about Jesus, the disciples. You know, Jesus said in the 15th, 16th verse, he says, "He that go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall take up serpents. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And it goes on to say, "And they went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." God bless you. He confirmed what? The word. Because that's all he's obligated to confirm is his word. He watches over what here in Jeremiah? To what? To perform it. Isn't that right? God's not obligated to perform your sermon, your message, your advice, your counsel. But he is very much obligated and promises us he will perform his word. If you tell him the word, he'll perform it. If you preach the word, he'll confirm it. Hallelujah. So, he's just same thing here. Jeremiah's same thing, really, you could say he told the disciples. Because if they went around preaching the word, well, that's what Jeremiah was supposed to preach. That's what Ezekiel was supposed to preach. Eat that scroll, and this is what I want you to say. You eat this scroll. You put this in you before you prophesy. And that's a pattern you see all through the scripture. In fact, turn to 2 Timothy 4, and let's wrap this up. This helping anybody? This is almost testimonial tonight. 2 Timothy 4. Paul's dealing with Timothy. Timothy was a pastor, young man. And Paul was ministering to him, encouraging him as a pastor, as a leader, as a preacher, as a minister. And there's 1 Timothy, there's 2 Timothy, Titus. Titus is also a pastor. But it says here in the 4th chapter, 1st verse, you know these verses, you should. Paul speaking, notice the gravity or the the impact of what he's trying to say here. He said, I charge you therefore before God. That's pretty strong. I charge you. It'd be like, in my case, it would be equivalent to that, be Brother Osteen. Who's gone on to be with the Lord. But anyway, if he were to give me a charge, you know, this is I charge you. Paul is Timothy's mentor, his hero, his father in the faith. He said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. That's pretty, if you can start out a charge, that's a pretty good way to start it out. Wouldn't you think? I think that'd get your attention when you have this prophet and apostle. You got Paul, man, you know he's from God. You've seen the miracles he's done. I mean, this guy's anointed. You know, was called by God to write 13 books in the New Testament. And he's telling them, he says, I charge you before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. In other words, basically, in the name of Jesus, listen to me. I'm giving you a charge. You better listen to me. You better listen to this. Yeah. I'm saying this before God and before Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. Wow, you think, man, what was he going to say? That must be pretty important what he's going to tell Timothy. He says, preach the word. Man, how detailed was that? I mean, how complicated was that? You'd think it would just be, is that it? That's what it? Yeah, yeah. I charge you before God. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready. In season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Don't you back off. Don't you get in the flesh. Don't you preach what's popular. Don't you preach what people want to hear. Don't you preach what you like to preach. You preach the Word. I like that. That's good. That makes it simple. Amen. Now I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to come up with something. I just go to the Word and preach the Word. Just preach the Word, preach the Word, preach the Word. What about when I'm sharing with somebody about the Lord? What about you when you're sharing with somebody? I'll give you some insight here. Share the Word. When you talk about God and you talk about their life and you talk about their marriage and you talk, well, let me tell you something. Tell them what the Word says. Just tell them what the Word says. Let God touch your mouth. Get His words in your mouth. And you can do it. See, that's the good news. You can do it. Notice what he goes on to say. And boy, does this sound prophetic? This is written 2,000 years ago, incidentally. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll have designer-friendly churches. And they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will be turned aside to fables. Now, I say designer-friendly. I'm not slamming legitimate churches that have a certain flavor. I'm just saying that if we're not careful, though, we'll just find out what people want, what their desires are, and we'll just customize our whole church to the desires of the people, and we'll quit using certain terms and talk about certain sins, because that's not popular. Hello. And people are crying out for help and hope. If you love those people, you'll tell them the truth. You'll tell them what's right. You'll separate the clean from the unclean, the holy from the evil. My Lord, that's what I'm up here to do. You think the world's going to tell you what's right and wrong? You're going to get it from the news? You're going to get it from the television? You're going to get it from the world's institute? No, I'm here to do that. But to do it in love, to give you hope, to give you a future, not to beat you on the head where you walk out of here worse than you walk in. No, no, no. But to give you hope. I love you too much not to tell you sin's wrong. I love you too much not to tell you you can overcome it. I love you too much not to tell you. You can make it, praise God. You're not helpless. You're not doomed to repeat this sin and live in this sin all your life. The good news is, you know, not that it's a sin. The good news is you can overcome it, and you've been redeemed from it. Hallelujah. And God can help you overcome addictions or whatever the case may be. We don't hate you. We don't condemn them. But we sure do not preach what's popular. That's not what we're about. We're church. Our marching orders come from God. Our sermons come from not the newspaper. They come from the Bible. We can be current, I understand. We can talk about events, but in light of the Word. Well, what I always do, well, it doesn't matter what you always do if what you always do is not the Bible.
Yeah.
Let someone sneeze and have a cold, and you'll have 1,500 remedies around here. Are you with me? I'll tell you what I always do. You know, and that's, I understand that, and we all have these little remedies. But now we're talking about life here, and God addresses these things. And you and I need to preach the Word, amen? Good news is we can do it, amen? Hallelujah. Well, be instant, be in season. Don't back off. Just be available. Don't think you can't because you can. Let God use you. There's people out there that need you to stand up for Jesus. There's people out there that need you to share with them in love, help and hope and healing. Most people don't even know what's in the Bible. I've run across more people just individually talking to them, don't know I'm a preacher, just talking to them. They just look like a calf looking at a new gate. You start telling them something in the Bible, I know it's in there. That's in there? Yeah, that's in there. They don't even know, you know, they just don't know. They think we all hate everybody, they think we're all about, you know, condemning everybody. They don't know what we're for, they just know we're against something. The church, oh, that's where they're against everything. Isn't that terrible? That the world doesn't know what we're for? Well, that's our fault. Well, they're against this, and they're against this, and they're against that, and they're against... They have not a clue what we're for. Well, let's let them know what we're for, amen?